Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this 10 o'clock Holy Communion service here at All Saints. Now, as you may know, if any of you have been here when I normally lead, I'm not one for lots of notices. Unfortunately, I have lots of notices, let's put it that way. So, first thing I've been asked to encourage us to do, grab some Easter leaflets. They're at the back. They're all bundled up. Dave says, could you possibly deliver them around wherever they're listed and pray for the people as you deliver them? So that's the first one. The second one is there's been an omission on the Easter leaflets. Not that I expect you to pencil these in. You understand that this is just for us. Or anyone that asks you. Normally we do a walk of witness from here to the Priory on Good Friday. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to meet here at 9:45 to walk to the Priory. Or if you feel that it's snowed or something horrible happens, you can meet us at the Priory at 10:30, and that will be... That's the one thing that we've done forever that's sort of managed to escape the notice sheet. So that's those. So all of that, apart from the Walk of Witness, is on the leaflets that you will be hopefully delivering. Now, I think I've got a different voice. Paul.
Those of you that were here last week, either in person or watching online, will know that Dave talked about the new positions that we're hoping to appoint. They've both been approved by the PCC, so it's for being an assistant clergy and an operations manager. I talked about Megan's Kitchen and also gave an indication of the amount of money we're going to need to fund Megan's Kitchen. So in April, we've launched what we've called Kingdom Giving Month, where each of us is asked to prayerfully consider how much we can give to support these two ventures. And there are some leaflets at the back of the church. If you haven't picked one up already, please take one when you leave the church. Some of them are addressed to individuals in envelopes. Others are just loose. So if you haven't got a named envelope, please just take a leaflet. The other thing to say is that last week, everything was a bit rushed, so people didn't really have much of a chance to ask either me or Dave about these two new things. If you have any questions about Megan's Kitchen, I'm around after the service, please have a word. I think Dave's planning to come up next week to talk more about the operations manager and the assistant clergy. So if you have any questions, please don't hold back. We're very willing to listen to them and answer them. Okay, thanks.
And that was going to be the next notice, that Dave's going to be here to explain and answer our questions next week after the service, to explain the exciting opportunities afforded by the new management structure. So I've done that now. You've had it twice if you want to talk to him next week. And, magic. This gentleman is coming to St. Andrew's. So we are encouraged to come and listen to him. He's had a really interesting life and is now putting his testimony into his magic act. So combining two things. Come and see Rod Williams on Wednesday, the 27th of April at St. Andrew's, and you can book tickets online. I don't think you can get them any other way, but I'm sure if you contact the church wardens, they might be able to point you in another direction if that isn't your thing. And talking about being a thing, we have an electronic notice sheet every week. Not only does it save the planet because we're leaving more trees growing, because there's so much going on, we used to use a lot of paper. But we'd love you to connect. So you can connect by going to what it says on the bottom, / connect with us, and you can sign up and get it pinging into your email every week. It was this week that I discovered that Dave was playing a trick on us. But there we go. Bishop to the Navy. And to pay homage to our lovely curate segues me nicely into a little letter that he has sent for us, which I'm going to read out. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, as this is read out to you, I'm down at St. Andrew's saying my final farewell down there, and probably blubbing as I did last week with you. Tomorrow the lorries arrive to load up and we set off for Dorset on Tuesday afternoon. It is upon us. Can I thank you so very much for our wonderful send-off last week? Thank you for arranging the delicious lunch with the most wonderful array of food and the most spectacular table of puddings. My thanks goes to Martin for saving me a slice of the pavlova. Emma sends her thanks for the lovely flowers you presented her, and we are both incredibly grateful for the very generous gift of the Garden Centre tokens. We will put those to good use, and whatever we end up purchasing, it means you as a church community will always be with us in our new home. Once again, thank you for everything, for your love, support and encouragement over the last 4 years. You are amazing. As we depart, may I encourage you to continue to be God seekers in the months and years ahead. Reference, obviously, to last week's talk on Seek First the Kingdom of God. And I look forward to sharing a cup of coffee in Megan's kitchen. Please send me some pictures once it's finished. Bless you all, and thank you. With love from Peter, Emma, and Alice. So I just hope he's taken his tissues down to St. Andrew's. And lastly, before we eventually get to the point of the service, I'm hoping that you were all given a poem and a green leaf when you came through the door. All will become very obvious when Paul comes up to speak later on, but you're going to need those. Right then. So here we are. Following Jesus, today we are looking at Mark 10:32-35. So let us just have a moment of silence to become aware of God's presence with us. As usual, things in yellow are for me, things in white mostly are for you guys, or for us all. So, we meet in the name of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God is one. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. So now we're going to stand and sing our first hymn today. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let us stand and praise God. A seat. Now, I thought we'd have a lovely psalm that we could read together. Psalm 34, not all of it, just verses 1 to 8. So if you'll join with me. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Following on from our theme for the whole service, which is not what you expected. Well, you might have been expecting this, because I often put in something a little different at this part of the service when I'm leading. But I thought I would introduce you to one of my favourite yes, I would say one of my favourite mystics. Paul Hunt introduced me years and years ago to the mystics, and I have been happily trotting through some of them, but every time I end up coming back to Julian of Norwich. I don't think it's because my daughter's in Norwich, but you never know, perhaps that was a God incident, as they say. But the one thing that the mystics teach us is that when we experience God, and we do, whether we know it or not, each one of us experiences God in a slightly different way. But whichever mystic you read, that mystic was forever changed by that encounter. You might say that the encounter was not what they expected. So today I'm going to just share three little snippets and what is commonly held to be their interpretation. So this is from her main... She had many visions. She spent 25 years, I think, ruminating over them. And she was the first author who wrote in medieval English. First lady author. Girl power. So here we go. This is all about images for God. At the same time, our Lord showed me a spiritual vision of his familiar love. I saw that for us, he is everything that we find good and comforting. He is our clothing, wrapping us for love, embracing and enclosing us for tender love, so that he can never leave us, being himself everything that is good for us, as I understand it. Now, given that she was writing in the vernacular, this can be boiled down to the fact that we can be assured that God is close to us in our daily routines and our everyday lives, which back in medieval Britain was a bit of something that they didn't expect. Then she wrote this a little later on. In this vision, he also showed a little thing, the size of a hazelnut, in the palm of my hand, and it was as round as a ball. I looked at it with my mind's eye and thought, what can this be? And the answer came to me, it is all that is made. Now, the hazelnut was one of the most common things in medieval Britain. There were trees full of them all over the place, and they were used for cooking and for seasoning and all sorts of things. But they were commonplace, and yet here's God showing her a very commonplace thing in the palm of the hand. And here we get an inspired sense of God's infinity that frames much of Julian's reflections. All the created order is held in God's hand. And she finishes by saying, I wondered how it could last, for it was so small, I thought it might suddenly have disappeared. And the answer in my mind was, it lasts and will last forever, because God loves it, and everything exists in the same way by the love of God. So the smallness of all that is created caused Julian to wonder how it even continues to exist, it being so small. And she's told it lasts because God loved it into being in the first place and sustains it with his love always. Not something we'd expect from a very simple woman in the Middle Ages in Norwich, but very profound, and something that speaks to us now as we globally struggle with having to deal with pandemics and climate change. So let us just take a moment to absorb that, to know that God loves us into being and sustains us with his love for eternity. And we move into a time of confession. St. Paul says, "Be imitators of God. Love as Christ loved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away all anger and bitterness, or slander and malice." So let us confess our sins to God, who forgives us in Christ. We say together, Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like the morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us, deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds and revive us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Right then, our next song. For those of you who've been here a long time, like me and a few others, you will have heard this one before because I brought it back from when I was being trained. It's a John Bell song. Now, I know that we have got lots of new people, but I'm assured by those that know music that it is really quite easy to sing. So, our lovely musician Kathleen is going to play it through once. When she's going to stop, we're all going to stand and we're going to give it our best shot. Thank you, Kathleen. Take it away.
Thank you.
Have a seat. And you'll be glad to know my husband turned the microphone off so you couldn't hear me. Now we're going to move on to the creed. And then after that, Jean's going to come and read us our reading today. So please join with me. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You come to us before we come to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. Jean.
The reading is from Mark 10, beginning at verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they replied. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup, drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When they then heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know about those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be saved, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting in the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man and said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Paul is coming to open up all of some of those wonderful words to us.
Thank you, Jackie. Would you pray and click?
Pray and click. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul and for all that you have given him to share with us this morning. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and our wills to hear and do what you would have us hear and do. And we thank you for Paul. Amen.
There you go. Bless you, Jackie. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I will put the next slide up so you can start.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you. Those wonderful words that Jackie used of Julian of Norwich. I mean, just to add that when she wrote this amazing book in English, one of the first ever written theologically, I think, in English, by a theologian, and she'd it was the time of the Black Death, in which a third of the country was decimated and died with the plague, and she herself was on her deathbed and even asked the priest to come and say the last rites, and he had a cross, and she looked at the cross and she revived, and she wrote these amazing words. So, Lord, thank you that in the midst of that suffering, and the suffering so much in us, around us, in these days, that still your goodness sustains this world when so much else will try to destroy it. Thank you. Speak now to us. Open our hearts. Open our eyes like Bartimaeus. Lord, we want to see. And you can give us fresh sight. Thank you. Amen. Wonderful title, that is, Not What You Expect. Is anything what you expect? A sudden COVID. A telephone call turns your world upside down. A piece of good news, money in the bank. A friend suddenly in touch after 40 years. We could go on. Every one of you will have bits of good news, bits of bad news, things you don't expect. A comedian turns politician. He says, don't put my photos up in your shops and houses. Put up your children and your grandchildren's photos. Zelensky. Poland opening its borders. It's not what you expect. 2 million. Tens of thousands in our beloved country opening their homes, saying we want Ukrainian refugees to come. It's not what you expect. And here in Mark chapter 10, beautifully read by Jean, Jesus going up to Jerusalem. And no wonder the disciples are amazed. The Messiah going to Jerusalem? All the anger, the hatred, the what he's going to face up there. Others were fearful in that big crowd. What do you expect of the Messiah? It's not what you expect to be handed over, and that word is used twice here. Condemned to death, mocked, spat upon, flogged, killed, after 3 days will rise again. It's not what you expect. James and John, the me society, we all know that. When the me takes over from the we, and they want that place in the kingdom. It's not what you expect. And when Jesus says, I've not come for what you think, but to give my life as a ransom for many. You should have this little poem. I say it's a little poem. I've used it before here. It's such a wonderful one. It had to be today with the story of Bartimaeus. It's called The Kingdom by R.S. Thomas. I challenge you to learn it by heart. It's the most amazing. Or just learn a little bit. You see, you've got Bartimaeus right in the middle. What's it say? Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves. And love looks at them back. This is The Kingdom by this Welsh poet. It's a long way off. Inside it, quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed. It's not what you expect. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves. Love looks at them back. And industry is for mending the bent bones and minds fractured by life. These amazing words, aren't they? This is the kingdom. It's not what you expect. So we come to this amazing story of Bartimaeus. Look and listen and feel. Look, listen, these wonderful, Jackie, I don't know how you've managed to do this. Where's Jackie now? I can't, bless you. She's clicking away. I don't know how you did that, Jackie. Just found the right pictures there. Look, listen, feel. See the world through Bartimaeus's eyes, this blind man. He's a beggar. And he's sitting, of course he's sitting, he's got no one to guide him. He's just been put there, he must have been put there by probably faithful friends somewhere, and then left there for the day. He's sitting by the road. Just for a moment, if you feel able to, just to close your eyes, it could almost be as if one is in prayer, close your eyes. And put out your hands, put out your hands, and you're seated, so that's how Bartimaeus was, and listen, and look. You can't look now because your eyes are shut, but you can listen and you can feel. You can look with your spiritual eyes. And as you feel Bartimaeus sitting there, what do you feel? Can you feel your darkness? Can you feel, or can you hear the cries around you, the crowd, big crowd we're told. Dogs around you sniffing away, wanting a little bit of the crust of bread you might have. Children crying out, laughing, crying, whatever. Feel that around you. And maybe you would love someone to touch you, but Bartimaeus has no one. And how do you feel? How does Bartimaeus feel? Someone said to me last week, I feel so ugly. I think Bartimaeus must have felt that. I feel so ugly. I'd love someone to touch me. Just feel perhaps his aloneness. And also think of yourself, because in Revelation chapter 3, when people around are saying, I'm okay, I've got all I need, I've got the essentials, and St. John writes, and perhaps St. John remembers this story of Bartimaeus, don't you know you are wretched, pitiable, poor and blind and naked. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Son of David, twice he calls out, Son of David, he's shouting out, have mercy on me. And if you would just like to open your eyes, if you've had them closed, but relax your hands, and I don't know what word you would use for Bartimaeus. Did any words come to you? Could you put a word? How does this man feel? Anybody give a word?
Lonely.
Lonely. Any other words?
Scared.
You have deaf. Scared. Scared. B. What a word. Scared. Scared. Who's going to help me? Is this man who's Jesus of Nazareth, is he going to do anything for me? I've got the word I wrote down, desperate. Desperate. Someone once said, a philosopher, and I can't remember his name, but I always remember his words, that most people, as he said, most people live lives of quiet desperation. You'll know people living a life of quiet desperation, and you'll know bits of you sometimes feel this as well, more often perhaps than we're willing to say. And it's a cry for mercy, a cry for love. Loving kindness is another word for mercy. When I say, Lord, have mercy, Lord, let your loving kindness, the love that Julian Norrie just has taught us all those years back, the love that's deep in the scriptures, have mercy. Have mercy for my healing, for your compassion to come to me. Jesus, Son of David, Jesus the Messiah. Bartimaeus had an insight into this Messiah. And a prayer that's very close to this, which is actually used a lot in the church, not just the great Orthodox church around the world, but it's used in many other places. I've used it in many different places. It's very simple. It's Lord, it's up on the PowerPoint as well. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And then that extends to have mercy on us and on your world. I have regularly, before COVID, annually gone to a monastery where they pray this prayer 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening in all the different languages, about 10 to 12 different nationalities, praying this prayer again and again. Lord, have mercy, your loving kindness on me, on us, on your world. Can we just say this prayer together? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, on us, and on your world. Amen. And if you're ever stuck for words, that's just a wonderful prayer to use and to know that it joins you with so many others around the world. It's called the Jesus Prayer. And it was a prayer actually prayed by, not just by Bartimaeus, but when a couple of chapters later in chapter 11, the people are coming in with Jesus on his donkey and they cry, Son of David, Son of David, Hosanna, save us now, save us, have mercy upon us. This is the whole crowd are then praying the same prayer as Bartimaeus. And I love this wonderful icon that Peter shared with us last week. And I think again, Ant is amazing. He can bring this up on the screen. But do you remember last week when Peter was saying, when Jesus is clasping Adam and Eve, humanity, Bartimaeus, you and me, drawing us out of the coffins and death and torture. And as Peter shared, Jesus doesn't hold the hand, he holds the wrist, because we don't even have to hold on to him. Christ holds on to me and on to us, and I can let go. Like Peter drowning in the sea. Lord, save me. And Jesus gets hold of him. I bet you he got hold of the wrists. He couldn't trust Peter to hold on. Got hold of the wrists. Lord, save me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon your world. Praise God. Let's go very quickly on. We've looked at Bartimaeus. See the people. Well done. There we are. See the people. Just very briefly on this. It's in verse 48. Can you see what they did to Bartimaeus? Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. And if you look back in that chapter, to chapter 10, verse 13, when they bring little children to Jesus, the disciples sternly tell them to be quiet. You've got the church saying, shut up. You've got the world saying, shut up. And there's Bartimaeus having to shut up. They spoke sternly. You know, I think for us, just go on a moment. Verse 49. It's interesting, isn't it? I've never seen this before. I started looking at it recently, when the crowd say to Bartimaeus, get up, take heart, he's calling you. Bartimaeus couldn't hear the voice of Jesus because of all the crowd, big crowd, everybody, you know, all the noise and everything. But the crowd have changed. Initially they said, don't. Then they say, okay, get up, come, he's calling you. Rise up, take heart. And so this crowd, I see them there as both obstacles. They sternly say, don't. That's part of us. I've put O for obstacle. And then they're life givers, because they also say, get up, Bartimaeus, come. And I feel we are both those, actually, in the church. In the world, we are, without knowing it, we are obstacles to some people. You know, it just is. They don't like me, they don't like the way I am, they say, oh, he's got this, she's got that, you know. And so we don't really help them. Okay, that's life. But we can be life givers. And we can say, rise up, take heart, he's calling you. Wonder what you are. Wonder who, even this last week, who's been a life giver to you this last week? Who has just said to you, you know, given you a bit of hope? Could be someone who may not call themselves a Christian. It could be a Christian friend. It could be someone in your family. Just given you a bit of hope. And you say, thank you, your Lord, you've been a life giver to me through this particular person. And maybe, if you're honest, you say, well, I've been a bit of an obstacle, Lord, to this person, to that. I just didn't, you know, do this or say this, or I said something I wish I hadn't. And we're an obstacle. And Lord, just forgive. But make me a lifesaver. Make me a lifesaver, a life giver. And then finally we come to Jesus. And the spotlight changes. It's like St. Mark changes the camera from Bartimaeus. And now it focuses on our Lord. What do you see? And just three things. The first is he stands still. He stands still. That's amazing, isn't he? This huge crowd, the disciples, and Jesus stops and stands still. he's often, you find places in the scriptures, I've got about four or five just written down without me even beginning to think much about it. When Jesus stopped, the Samaritan sitting at that well, he stopped to talk. One of the greatest conversations in scriptures, in the scripture, is in John chapter 4, isn't it? The Samaritan woman. He stops, he sits. Times in the crowd, he stops. A woman wants to touches him. He stops. Who touched me? Different stories. When he stops and he's just there, in a sense, the ruthless elimination of hurry. I keep on coming back to that book. We sort of go from book to book, I feel, sometimes. But come back to the ruthless elimination of hurry, because Jesus teaches us that. He stops still. And I think this is something that I certainly need to learn more, to know when the Lord stops me and says, just pause. I had quite a heavy case this last week coming up from London. Do you know, three different people, particularly on stairs, with a really heavy case, crowds around, you know, three different people helped me. Three people stopped to help someone who's getting a bit older in life, and said, let me take it for you. I mean, isn't that amazing? We need to stop for people. Just stop this week. Stop, stop, stop. Don't hurry on. The ruthless elimination of hurry. And it's from Jesus himself. And then he calls us. Isn't that a wonderful word? Rise up, Bartimaeus. He's calling you. This is the world calling to Bartimaeus and saying, Jesus is calling you. Think of people who may not be in the church, but who call out, perhaps in your life, and show you something of God or of Christ, and they're really on God's side. Christ was always calling, wasn't he? Always calling. And that wonderful verse, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, come, come, come. Amazing call of Christ to Bartimaeus, to us. Come, come this morning, come and receive the broken bread and the blood of Christ and the wine. Come, 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 come in this worship, come, come to me. And then he asks us something, doesn't he? He asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And of course we say, well, for heaven's sake, Bartimaeus, you want to see, don't you? Jesus doesn't have to ask you, but he does. And a lovely friend last night, as I shared with him what I was going to try and say today, and he just said to me, and he's from an army background, and, you know, he's quite a military man, really, and he said, but isn't that wonderful? Because Jesus wanted that man to make the decision. Bartimaeus had to say what I want. He had to form a bond with Jesus. He had to form a relationship. And so many of the miracles in the Gospels, Jesus wants a relationship. That's more important than the miracle. Miracle will come, but do you trust me? Do you trust me? What is your true desire? What is your true desire today, this morning, as we approach Holy Week? A week on Friday is Good Friday. Holy Week begins a week on Monday. Everything leading up to the cross and to the resurrection. What is my desire? And I asked this last week of a younger man than me, and he told me what his desire was, and then he said this, and you know, that's what I'm doing. Wasn't that lovely? That's what I'm doing. Just pause a moment, because that same young man said, don't give up the desire. It may not be fulfilled now, but it will be. Just hear the Lord saying, what is your desire? What are you really wanting in the depths of your heart? Just tell the Lord that. Let him tell him, and in inadequate words, and maybe a word you use, maybe you just say, Lord, I don't know, but I want you. And that's the greatest thing of all. Just pause a few moments. The Lord says, what is your desire? What can I do for you? And let's just come back to that poem again. And I think you've all got a green leaf, because this is all about your desire. I've got my green leaf. Have you all got one? Just hold it. Hold it. We may well be like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, mirrors in which the blind look at themselves. And even this morning, Lord, I'm not just looking at myself as someone blind, spiritually blind, but love looks at me. And that same love is for bending the bent bones, the minds fractured, my mind fractured by life, broken. Peter Myers spoke yesterday at the men's breakfast. He said, we are in a broken world and our lives are broken. And then these wonderful words, it's a long way off, but to get there takes no time. Bartimaeus, come, get up, he's calling you. Admission is free. If you will purge yourself of desire, what is your desire? What is my desire? Let it be purged even in worship today. Let it be purged by the Lord. Present yourself with your need only. And the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf. Lord, may each of us, holding this leaf, say to you this morning as we receive the Holy Sacrament, that we're able to say, Lord, this is my need. My greatest need is you. Every other need, it's not, they're not important, but the greatest need, Lord, is you. Your crucified body, shed blood, bread and wine in this worship service. And my faith, Lord, I may be old, I'm getting on in life, but this, I want faith like a green leaf, beautifully green, bringing fresh life to me and to all those around me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon your world. Amen. I think we're going to now let God's mercy come upon the world. Is that right? With patience leading us? Yeah. Dear Patience, where are you? There she is. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Today is a day of prayer for Ukraine. We bring before you this morning all those who are suffering, and we ask that the darkness of evil be lifted from them. From the Anglican congregation who meet in Kyiv. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your law. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Echoing the recent words of the Pope, forgive us for war, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Mercy, have mercy on us sinners. Jesus Christ, born in the shadows of bombs falling on Kyiv, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, who died in a mother's arms in a bunker in Kharkiv, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, a 20-year-old sent to the front lines, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, who still beholds armed hands in the shadow of your cross, have mercy on us. Lord, put a halt to the violence. Stop us, O Lord. We lift Ukraine and all those countries who have taken in refugees to you in a moment of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for other areas of your troubled world and the persecuted church. We pray for the starving people of Afghanistan, that somehow food and help may get to them rapidly. We pray for peace in the Yemen, for the people of Myanmar, and for the unrest in Sri Lanka. In bringing before you the people of the wider world, we pray that you will protect all political prisoners and those who are suffering and fleeing their homes in the face of war and persecution. We pray that somehow tolerance, justice, and forgiveness may replace intolerance, bigotry, racism, extremism, and vengeance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our churches in Malvern. We pray for outreach in our community, that all may know the redeeming power of the risen Christ. Here in the Chase team, we ask you to bless and inspire Dave, Paul, and Jeff, along with our lay readers, Peter and Jackie, and all those who support and help your church. We also pray for the PCC, that you will guide them with a clear vision of the future of all our churches and mission community as we enter a period of change. We thank you for the life of Peter Myers as he moves away from Malvern and ask for your blessing upon him and his family. As we face a time of uncertainty and austerity, we pray for the Malvern Food Bank and CAP, that they may be able to continue to support the increasing numbers of those facing hunger and debt. We pray for all our local secondary and primary schools, that you will inspire both teachers and students alike, especially as many face public exams in the coming months. We pray for our medical practices and hospitals. We thank you for their dedication in the face of so much pressure at this time. We pray for all those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, and those known personally to us who are sick or suffering. So we pray for healing, especially for Janet Finch, as she waits for further investigations. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let us finish with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Aha! Our next song, also one from not so long ago. Kathleen's going to play it for us through once. Then, as before, she'll stop, we'll stand, and we'll give it a go. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Let's collect all our prayers together. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's join together in the words on the screen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. So, as we are all standing, let us say the peace. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Also with you. What are we doing these days? Let's keep safe. The peace of the Lord be with you. Paul, would you like them standing or sitting? Yeah. Have a seat, lovelies.
Yep. I think we're a bit more like Bartimaeus if we're sitting. And of course we come, don't we, like Bartimaeus with open hands to receive the body and blood of Jesus with open hands. So, and you know, 1500 years ago, St. Columba landed from Ireland to Scotland. And on Friday, there are three programs, I think, each week, on 14 people, celebrities, who've done the journey in St. Columba's footsteps. And this is from Iona. This is St. Columba's place, the Iona, which started way back in the 6th century. So it's so appropriate we have this today. And thank you, Jackie, for all you've done. Thank you. I would love to have had the table down there, actually, because we're in the way. We're like Bartimaeus following, coming to Jesus in the way. But I have to, Andy's got this beautifully prepared. And so we've just got this slightly altered. But when the time comes to receive communion, we'll give it from up there, because that gives the sense, this is God with us, the immanent God. Up there is God transcendent, God beyond. We need both. And I just love the sort of doing both those things together. And when the communion comes, and Jackie and I will be up there, if you like to have the bread, which is minimum content of gluten, or if you want the non-alcoholic wine, do have a word as you come to receive. And if for any reason you feel you can't, just come for a blessing. Listen, lay a hand lightly on your head and pray God's blessing on you. So the table of bread and of wine is now to be made ready. It's a table of company with Jesus, with all who love him. It's a table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. Sew it together. Hold it. We should all have said that, shouldn't we, Jackie? No, we'll go on now, but I'm learning. I do the yellow. So sorry. So come to this table, you who have much faith, you who would like to have more. You who've been to this sacrament often, you who've not been maybe for a long time. You who've tried to follow Jesus, you, all of us who failed, come. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took the bread. And having blessed it, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." And then together, loving God, it is through your goodness we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made in the sharing of this bread. Together, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Together, look. The body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God. And I hear again the words of the crowd echoing the words of Jesus. Come, rise up, come. He's calling you. Come. So, all right, Jackie, we'll thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. You may not need that, but you may. Yeah, there we are. Thank you. Can you manage that one as well? So come. Come with empty hands, the hands of a beggar. Bartimaeus, come, receive. Come all who labour, I will give you rest. Come.
Let us say the post-communion prayer together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood, your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our final hymn today, as we move out into the world, we will use this last song as a prayer for guidance, to request guidance for us all, for leaders, and for those who follow. Let us stand and sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good things that you give us, and we pray that you will bless the monies here and given into our bank. You will guide us and instruct us on how best to build your kingdom throughout this world. Amen. Our final prayers and blessings. Throughout the day, the good God encompass you. Throughout the night, the saving God enfold you. Throughout your life, the loving God behold you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So before we do the dismissal, just to remind you, if you weren't here last week and have no idea what we were talking about the new structure, patients will be able to email you a copy of what was available. So please have a word with her. We might even be able to get some printed. Anyway, let us go in peace. To love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Have a blessed week.